between what happened 50 years ago when man landed on the moon compared to the remarkable truth that God has landed on Earth. It was Colonel James Irwin, the eighth man on the moon, who said, "God walking on the Earth is more important than man walking on the moon." What do you think of that? It was just wonderful, wasn't it? Wonderful that man could walk on the moon. But don't you think it's even more remarkable, miraculous in fact, for God to walk on earth? And that's what John tells us in the first chapter of his book. John tells us that the Word, that's the name he uses for Jesus, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. It's one of the most brilliant utterances ever uttered. Because in the beginning of John's account, John is the last of four writers to write up the story of Jesus. In the beginning, John takes us straight away to the very heart of Christianity. He says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word, as he calls him, became flesh, became a human being. In other words, the Lord of glory, the God who inhabited all of the heavens, became a human. He took on our humanness. He lived on earth. And for years and years and years, people redated history from the birth of Jesus. So did you know that you and I are living on a visited planet? Did you know that? Because in many beliefs and religions, God, as it were, is way, way beyond the blue. He's above all and beyond all. Some people today even say that God is now found within people, even within nature itself. But the Bible says to us, the God who was distant has come down to our size and is alongside us. The Word became flesh, human, and made his dwelling among us. Yes, God became like us, a human being. He lived on planet Earth in a specific place with a specific family at a specific time. We're talking here history and geography. We're talking about a God who has been out of this world, who's now become part of this world. This kind of view of God coming to Earth, incarnation we call it, is unheard of except in Christianity. It may be miraculous, but it's not impossible. It happened once. Did you know that? That God became one of us. You see, in Jesus, the God who made the world came down to us. And God is doing a remake. He is entering in to human family life, sharing the struggles that you have and I have. In Jesus, we see man as he ought to be and still can be. The Jesus who came to earth was tangible. He belongs to our history. And the writers who write it up were eyewitnesses. They were there. They knew. This isn't legend. This is historical reality. Did you know furthermore that this God in Jesus speaks to us? That's why he's called the Word. Jesus is the Word, John tells us. The Word became flesh. In other words, God gives a verbal explanation about himself. Indeed, if God couldn't speak, or God didn't speak, we would have no idea what God is like, nor how we should meet with him and approach him. What we would do is make up our own silly ideas. We might go around saying, "I think God is like this," or "I think God has a white beard like that." How would we know? How would we know if our ideas were correct? But in Jesus, God has made himself known to us. He has spoken and he has acted. In Jesus, as it were, a ladder was let down from heaven, down to us, from God. Did you know that this is a visited planet? Did you know that God became one of us? Did you know that God speaks to us? Did you know that Jesus shows us the glory of God? You see, if you were Jewish, you would have pricked up your ears at one word in that sentence. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, or dwelt among us. It's that word, dwelling. It's the Old Testament word for a tent or tabernacle. It was the portable place where God met with his people during their wilderness wanderings. He dwelt with them. There, God showed himself. And to know when he was at home, there was a great cloud called the glory cloud that surrounded the tabernacle or tent. It was a sign that God was with his people. And he walked with them, traveled with them through the wilderness, a cloud by day and fire at night. You see, God was no unsympathetic deity. God was one who even came alongside his people in the Old Testament, right into the very camp where they were living. Now in Jesus, we have God, not as a sign, as a cloud, but as a person. His glory is seen in his person. Isn't that how John puts it? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Then he goes on to say, we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know if you're like me. Do you ever complain that we live in an evil world? Well, into this evil world came the Lord made flesh. Do you ever complain that there's no one who understands you? How many times do we hear that? Said, nobody understands me. They don't know what I'm going through. Well, into this evil world came the Lord made flesh, facing the pressures that we all face. Do you ever complain that in this world in which we live, death is all around us? Well, into this world came the Lord made flesh, dying and rising for us. Well, one writer that I read this week said that now that Jesus has come, God is graspable. It's a rather nice word, isn't it? God is graspable. He's someone we can relate to. Jesus came to rehabilitate this world. And the strange irony, very strange, isn't it? He didn't fit in this world, did he? He was too good for this world, wasn't he? He came, you see, not merely to show us what God is like, but to do for us what we can never do for ourselves. Did you know that God has acted on our behalf? Did you know that? John tells us that Jesus came to the Jewish people. And they rejected him. He came to that which was his own, but his own people did not receive him, says John the writer. He didn't fit. The world didn't recognize him. In fact, it took John the Baptist, his cousin, to point him out to everybody. Look, look, said John the Baptist, look over there. That's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, every Jew knew about a lamb. They knew about a lamb used in sacrifice. They knew about Passover, when God had rescued them from the angel of death. If only they had a lamb, and they'd killed a lamb and put the blood around the doorposts. Every Jew knew about a lamb as a sacrifice. But they failed to see that Jesus would be offered up as a lamb on the cross on our behalf. He's our sin-bearing sacrifice. Do you know of any other person who paid the penalty that your sins and mine deserve? And since God has acted on our behalf in his Son Jesus, we ought to make some response to that. What response could we make? We could do the Jewish shrug, which I do regularly. Okay, very nice and good, so what? I've got my own way of living. I don't need this Word become human. Okay, we could do that. Or we could do, as we scratch our head, very interesting, very interesting. I'd like to think a bit more about that. I never realised that I ought to make my mind up about Jesus. No, I didn't, personally. It wasn't until my mid-teens that I realised I had to make some decision about Jesus. I'll give it more thought, you might say. Well, you'll find some literature that you might like to read on a table as you leave. I have a doctor friend, medical doctor, who's written what I think is a fabulous little booklet called The Greatest Person, the question mark booklet, that tells you a little bit about Jesus and how you might know him for yourself and come to know the living God. Very helpful little booklet. You're welcome to take one. There are some gospels out there and other pieces of literature, all free to help yourself to think about this person of Jesus. Or, if you don't just wish to shrug your shoulders, you don't wish to investigate, you could say, I've heard about this before, many, many a times before. You could respond like this. You could say to yourself, if that Jesus really is God, and if that Jesus who is God has really died for me on that cross, then I must give everything up for him. I must live for him. And if you want to start to follow this Jesus, I want to encourage you. You could pray a prayer like this that I'm going to close with. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you left the glory of your Father's home and lived here on earth. Thank you that you became one of us so that we can be reunited to God our Creator. Please help us to think through the implications of the Incarnation. Please help some of us to become your children here and now. Please give us hearts to love you, to turn away from selfish living, and to honour you with our lives. This is our prayer tonight, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. I came across this song just this year, a newish song, and I thought we might just watch it and think about it as we draw our service to a close before we sing our final carols.